So today we're going to have lecture 5, which is Making Proteins Translation. So let's go back to our analogy from Borders Bookstore. And you now have your recipe, and you want to translate the words on the page into a meal. And so similarly, a modified messenger RNA leaves the nucleus, goes into the cell, finds a ribosome and starts making proteins. Just like you leave Borders, you find a kitchen and you make a casserole. Yes. The final step that we're discussing today is in protein synthesis is called translation. And it's really the really important one. So let me give you a quick overview. Protein synthesis is really three main things. There's transcription, which itself is broken into three steps. And does anyone remember what those three steps are? Can anyone tell me what the three steps of translation are? Very good. Initiation, elongation, termination. Those are the three steps. The next in protein synthesis, what comes next in protein synthesis after transcription? Yeah, good. RNA processing. And that's where we remove or we add a cap and a tail and we remove the introns. And now you've got messenger RNA ready to go. And then the last part is translation. And there's three steps to translation. And guess what they're called? Just make a wild guess, Sean. Just make a wild guess. Bingo. You got it. So it's initiation, elongation, termination. Same as transcription. So that's it. That's the overview. So let's get into some of the details. And we're going to begin by introducing the players. And player number one is messenger RNA. It's single-stranded, as is all RNA. It contains a genetic message that has been transcribed or copied from the DNA. And remember that the genetic code is a three-base sequence called a codon, which codes for a particular amino acid. And we remember that in prokaryotes, the messenger RNA is very simple. But in eukaryotes like us, the messenger RNA has gone through this extensive processing as shown below in my picture. And you can see that there's a 5' cap, a leader, then you get your start codon, then all your exons have been put together, then you've got your stop codon, then you've got a trailer, and you've got a poly A tail. Okay, that's the processed messenger RNA. Okay. The second player is transfer RNA, or tRNA. So once again, this shows you that RNA is a very diverse molecule. Unlike DNA, which is kind of boring, there's only really one kind of DNA. It's found in the nucleus. It just stores the code. There's lots of different kinds of there's lots of different kinds of RNA, and you're going to meet three of them today. But I could go on, for a whole number of lectures about all the different kinds of RNA there are in your body and what they do, and they're finding out more and more things about these RNAs every day. It's pretty exciting. So the transfer RNA is single-stranded, and it folds into this kind of like clover leaf shape, as you can see here, or an L shape down here. And this is due to the hydrogen bonding, so it kind of bonds back on itself. And the function of this molecule is that it associates an amino acid with the code on the messenger RNA. So I want you to think of it as a molecule that does two things. It has an amino acid on one end, and which is up here at the 3' end, and then it has an anticodon down at the other end. And that anticodon is complementary to the codon, which is what's on the messenger RNA. Okay. And by the way, if you want to know which of these three pictures is the most accurate, it's probably this one down here on the bottom left, because that's probably what a transfer RNA really physically looks like. The sort of cloverleaf picture at the top is the one that's in a lot of textbooks. It's not completely accurate, but it gives you the idea. And of course, the one on the bottom right is much more diagrammatic. And I've said all this. So let's take a minute and think about the linkage between amino acids and anticodons. This is what's happening right on transfer RNA. First of all, let's kind of review. How many amino acids are there? 20. Very good. How many different codons are there which code for an amino acid? Think about it. 61. Remember, there's three codons, but they are stop codons, so they don't have an amino acid. So there's actually 61. So therefore, how many transfer RNA molecules should there be based upon this idea? You say 61. Very good. Now, here's the interesting question. How many transfer RNA molecules actually exist? This is interesting. Check it out. 45. And then my question to you is, how can this be? Okay, what in the world is going on? Any ideas? Any ideas? Jack. Good, good. That's exactly right. And so sort of the way it works out is it turns out that some transfer RNAs molecules have anticodons that can recognize two or more different codons. It's very interesting. And this is due to a phenomenon which is called wobble. And this wobble effect allows the last base, and it's only the last base, it's the last base in an anticodon to break the base pairing rule that we're familiar with. You know, A goes with U and C goes with G, right? We've thought that that was like set in stone. Well, it turns out that it isn't set in stone because the last base in an anticodon-codon pair, it can be different. So turns out that the base U of a transfer RNA anticodon can actually pair with either A, which you would expect, or it can actually code a pair with a G, as long as the G is in the third position of the messenger RNA codon. So what's interesting about this, and I say it in my notes here, I say, this is a good lesson about biology. Remember that biology is never straightforward. There's all these weird exceptions. And so biology is not like physics. You know, in physics, you got Newton's laws. Newton's laws always work every time. Unless you're going close to the speed of light, then you need to use Einstein's theory of relativity. But then if you're going close to the speed of light, the theory of relativity works perfectly. So there's no exceptions. Whereas in biology, there's always these weird exceptions. And it kind of makes studying biology really interesting. So, you know, thank goodness for wobble, because we get some, you know, we get these strange, cool things that happen in biology. Okay, let's continue onward. The book is going to go into a lot of detail about how amino acids are linked to transfer RNA. You guys, don't worry about this process. Only thing I want you to know is I want you to know the name of the enzyme that does that, but don't worry about how it does it. It's just too much detail. And the name of the enzyme is aminoacyl transfer RNA synthetase. It's aminoacyl transfer RNA synthetase. Can we all say that? Aminoacyl transfer RNA synthetase. Good, very good. So that's it links the specific amino acid with the right transfer RNA, which is a tricky process because, you know, you've got all these different possibilities. You've got to make sure it's done right. Okay, this is cool. You can see the rotating ribosome on the right, and this is player number three. And the ribosome itself is kind of cool. It's a mixture of protein and RNA. So here we go. Again, yet a third type of RNA. We call it ribosomal RNA. And just to give you an idea of how massively, crazily complicated the ribosome is, a typical prokaryote ribosome has 57 different molecules. They're all separate, that are all kind of linked together in this huge conglomerate molecule. They have three ribosomal RNAs, three different pieces of ribosomal RNA, and they have 54 different proteins, and they're all linked together into this massive globular thing called the ribosome. And it's very complicated, and it's made of two separate pieces, and when they come together, they get the job done. If you look down here, There's the large subunit, which is called 50S, and then there's a small subunit called 30S. And the this just refers to, don't worry about the 50 or 30, just know that the larger one is 50S and the smaller one is 30S, and just kind of know that. The function, of course, this is the place where protein synthesis occurs. This is like the kitchen, so to speak. This is where you cook up your proteins. And basically, it's where amino acids are added one by one to create a protein. And therefore, it acts very much like an enzyme. Because remember that an enzyme speeds up a reaction. It causes two things to react that would have trouble reacting because there's this activation energy they've got to get over. And so it lowers the activation energy. And then essentially, that's what a ribosome does. It kind of functions as an enzyme and bonds the amino acids together. Okay. A little more look at the ribosome. Like I mentioned, it's two pieces. It's a small and a large subunit. And if you look here at the large subunit, you'll see that there are three distinct sites. An E site, a P site, and an A site. And you can remember these either way. You can call it EPA. You know, that's the way I always remember it because it's like the Environmental Protection Agency, okay? A great agency of our government, right? To protect the environment. Or you can remember it the other direction, APE, APE. Either one's fine. Just, you know, remember it. And A stands for arrival. P stands for polypeptide because that's where the polypeptide is actually made. And then E is the exit site. And you'll see how this works in the next slide. Let's go through the process. Like transcription, translation is a three-step process. And as we mentioned earlier, you've got initiation, elongation, and termination. And we'll go through each of those processes one by one. So basically, remember, the entire goal of what we're going to talk about today is to translate the messenger RNA code into a protein. That's what we're talking about. And what must occur for this to happen? Well, first of all, people in this room have to put away non-AP Bio stuff right now, or I will take it away from them, okay? Thank you. I should not have to ask you to do that, guys, okay? This is being podcast, by the way. Okay. What must occur? There needs to be a way to have the triplet code from the messenger RNA recognize a specific amino acid and then do this over and over again while at the same time linking the amino acids one by one until protein synthesis is complete. So that's what we've got to have happen. So let's go through the process. Initiation. First thing we begin with is the small ribosomal subunit. What it does is it binds to the messenger RNA out near the 5' end. So close to the 5' end, you get your bonding with the small subunit. And then you get, in comes a transfer RNA, which is called the initiator transfer RNA. And what amino acid is going to be stuck onto the end of that? Yeah, methionine. And what is the, if you go down to the messenger RNA and you look at the messenger RNA, what's the codon going to read? Do you remember? AUG. So you look down at the message, and it's AUG. Therefore, what will the anticodon be? UAC. And so the anticodon, which is on the transfer RNA, is UAC, and that is associated with methionine. And so that is initiation. And then in comes, so you've got your base, let's review this. You've got your small ribosomal subunit, your messenger RNA, and your initiator transfer RNA, the very first one. And then in comes the large ribosomal subunit. And when it does, the transfer RNA will bind to the P site. Okay? And that's, there you go. And this entire thing, the small subunit, the large subunit, the messenger RNA, and the initiator transfer RNA, the entire thing is called the initiation complex. And now what we do is we go through elongation. So from now on, what happens is you just go through this following process. The first thing that happens is you get what's called codon recognition. And so a transfer RNA will come into the A site, and it will pair, the appropriate transfer RNA will pair with the appropriate codon in the A site. Then, once it's in there, you've got the transfer RNA that was in the P site, and you've got a new transfer RNA in the A site. So you've got, up above, you've got two amino acids right next to each other. Now you can form a peptide bond between them. And then what happens is you get translocation. Those two transfer RNAs move left, and so the one that was in the P site goes into the E site, and the one that's in the A site moves to the P site, and also when the one that gets to the E site will go ahead and exit. So everything just kind of shifts over, and the one that goes into the E site exits. And so it just keeps doing this over and over and over and over again until you finally come to the stop codon. Yeah. You know, it's relative motion, so I guess you can define it either way. Okay, termination occurs when one of the three stop codons arrives in the P site. And so it could be any of these UAA, UAG, or UGA. And then what you get is this thing called a release factor. It binds to the A site. It has no amino acid. So it's like basically a period at the end. You know, it says, okay, stop, we're done. No more, we're done with making this protein. And it causes the whole thing to fall apart. And so what happens is the large and small subunit come apart from each other, and they come apart from the messenger RNA as well as the release factor. So everything and the free polypeptide is released. And now the polypeptide, which is, you know, a protein, it can now fold into its 3D shape and do what it is supposed to do in the cell. So we're at the end of protein synthesis, and we can finally say that the gene has now been expressed, right? The gene, which was in the DNA, has now been expressed as a protein. And this protein that's been synthesized is ready to serve some function in the organism. And remember that a protein can't serve its function until it takes on a unique 3D shape. So it's got to take its unique 3D shape because structure leads to function. And if you want to see protein folding, there's some cool websites out there. You can see it like this one here. And I'm going to show you right now from the DNA, it's called DNAi, the website, which is really the Cold Spring Harbor website. I'm going to show you what translation looks like in real time.